Thank you. Right, so this work I'm presenting here is a collaboration with David, who's sitting right there, and Gustavo and Marco. So yeah, let me get into it before, you know, while the coffee is working and you're away. So really the motivation for this work comes from the fact that consensus is an essential function in the data center. Of course, distributed systems need to agree on values, need to sequence events, need to replicate for fault tolerance, but often this consensus comes at a price, which can be prohibitive. So it often becomes a bottleneck to performance. And what we propose in this work is to look at ways of how we can make this consensus inexpensive. And let me, you know, right away spoil the ending of this talk. So essentially what we're aiming for is gaining orders of magnitude both in throughput and in latency on general purpose systems. So what I'm going to show is how you can, with a three-node FPGA cluster, go as low as 3 microseconds on a single consensus round and go as high as 4 million of these consensus rounds per second. Of course, we're not the first ones to look into this problem, and people have been doing a lot of very interesting research and important work on this on speeding up consensus. And this mostly revolves around making networks go faster and removing the OS from the bottleneck and all that. But I think there's one fundamental limitation, which comes from the fact that in software, really, the more complex an application you're running or the more complex an algorithm you're running, the more your performance will suffer. And especially with consensus protocols, which are conceptually a single-threaded application, there's really this baked-in trade-off in software. However, and this is the second part of our motivation, if you use specialized hardware, you can actually step over these traditional limitations and maybe reimagine your networking and application in a way that you can enforce both low latency and high throughput. So this talk, in essence, as I said, is motivated by the high cost of consensus, but we believe that consensus is good for you. It helps your systems to behave in a well-behaved manner. So what we looked at is using atomic broadcast, which is a form of consensus used in Zookeeper. We chose this specific algorithm because it's well understood, well studied, deployed in many, many data center applications. We did this with a specialized processor on an FPGA, where we, in essence, we get the benefits from integrating networking with the application, but also due to pipelining, as I will explain a little bit later. And then we evaluated our idea by building a system which is, in essence, a drop-in replacement from Memcached that runs Zookeeper's replication protocol. The talk will loosely follow these questions, so I will start with a little bit of background on Zookeeper, then explain at a high level how we actually implement this, and then I will go into evaluation. So for those of you who are not familiar with maybe Zookeeper, this is a background slide on the atomic broadcast protocol that Zookeeper uses. In essence, the problem it is solving is propagating state to followers. So leader is accepting updates or writes from a client, and it needs to propagate these updates to followers in a way that it is replicated for fault tolerance. The picture is fairly simple because Zookeeper relies on ordered, reliable channels for communication, and this, for all intents and purposes, means TCP/IP. Right. So if you look at the algorithm itself, it's fairly clear why consensus is inexpensive. It requires multiple round trips between leader and followers. And of course, at the speed which you can send these messages back and forth will determine the speed at which your consensus will run. So what a lot of related work has been doing and modern networks, 40G networking, InfiniBand, what they brought is they are pushing these lines more and more to the vertical where the latency of accessing other nodes is reduced. So of course this helps with the latency of consensus, but it's not the full story. In order to really have a big advantage, you need to attack also the processing part. So it's not only important that nodes can communicate very quickly. Once a node receives a message, it needs to be able to quickly decide what to do and send responses and whatnot. And maybe surprisingly or somewhat not surprisingly, also stragglers have a relatively high impact on the speed of consensus. So the more aligned, the more predictable the nodes behave, the faster you can progress towards a shared view of the world. And then how, in essence, what I will show in this talk is how we attack both the angle of the communication, so these lines, and how we reduce the time it takes between communication rounds. And then to put this in perspective of Zookeeper, so Zookeeper it's a Java-based service which gives you a replicated key value store or a metadata store where clients connect to the Zookeeper node, and when they update the state, this state goes through this atomic broadcast protocol to get replicated to other Zookeeper nodes. And here I'm showing the view from clients connecting to the leader, so then clients can write through the atomic broadcast and read directly from the data store, and they get, so this is what they get from Zookeeper. Right, so what we did is we used a specialized processor, or we built a specialized processor in FPGAs. By talking to people, I get the impression that everybody pretty much knows about FPGAs, but let me just give you a little bit of intuition of, so FPGAs are, in essence, soft hardware, so that you can create circuits. You write RTL, or you create your circuit, but then once you load it onto the FPGA, it behaves like an integrated circuit. But you can reprogram it many, many times. So in essence, it gives you the flexibility, somewhat of software, but once you program it, it behaves like an integrated circuit. And why this platform is very, very interesting for us is that it has some properties which come in very handy when you're trying to do network-related operations. So for one, for instance, is inherent parallelism, which means that all parts of the circuit run in parallel. So if your application is expressed as a pipeline of different parts working on different parts of the packets or different packets, then these are all truly running in parallel. There's tight integration, so the different components of your application can communicate directly in a very efficient manner or through very small buffers. And then, of course, there's a fast on-chip memory. So you can imagine this as sort of SRAM scattered through the chip, which you can choose to assemble into sizes and formats that suit your application. So I will later mention in the slides that actually we use this on-chip memory many times to create optimized buffers for whatever we're doing. So and on the FPGA, we, of course, have an atomic broadcast implementation. So in essence, we take the state machine view of Zookeeper's atomic broadcast and implement it in hardware. And we couple this with a 10 gigabit TCP IP core also running on the FPGA. As I mentioned, we have a key value store to actually store keys and values. And then because all of these need to store their data and state in off-chip DDR memory, there's a memory controller, which is, this one is not written by us, this is provided by the FPGA vendors, which talks to the off-chip DDR memory. I just want to highlight that all these blocks, while they are tightly integrated, so there's the communication happens very efficiently between them, they are also usable separately. So for instance, you could take different blocks, you could plug something else instead of the key value store behind the atomic broadcast and use it for other applications as well. So there's a lot more detail in the paper about how we implemented this and what are the benefits. But I don't want to bore you, especially that this is the first talk of the session and probably the coffee is still working. I just want to give you a high-level idea of why this actually behaves in this high-throughput, low-latency manner as it does. So in terms of latency, where we really gain is that we're able to optimize networking in a much more fine-grained manner than you would be able to do it in software. So for instance, the receive paths of the TCP stack can be optimized to use low-latency on-chip buffers, so we don't have to actually go to DRAM. And then looking at how the data center traffic looks like and how this Memcached or Zookeeper type of application-specific traffic looks like, we can use this to really optimize or fine-tune our TCP/IP implementation to work well in this setting. And then something which looks very humble, which I call predictable behavior, what this means is that because we're running in hardware, you have very strong guarantees on how long certain operations will take. So this means that you can almost come up with a model of your behavior depending on the load, and you can use this knowledge to really, really optimize how you're doing a buffering or caching. So what I mean here is, for instance, for the consensus protocol, the leader is writing to some sort of log where if it needs to look back, it can catch up followers. So you can, for instance, use knowledge about how your system behaves to have this log built as a multi-layered thing where you store parts of it in very low latency and low capacity on-chip memory, and then you move maybe older parts of it off to DRAM and so on. And then, of course, I mentioned it's not only latency that the FPGA improves, there's also throughput, and this happens because there's a pipeline data flow type of execution inside the FPGA. So there's also parallelism in between the different parts of the application. So networking might be processing some packets, while the consensus module might be working on something else. And in parallel, the key value store is storing or retrieving data. But even inside these pipeline stages, there's multiple things happening. So in the paper, there's a lot more detail on how each of these steps is actually a pipeline in itself, or even multiple parallel paths in itself. But let me go to give you an idea of how we deploy this and how we evaluate it. So as I showed you the previous picture, in essence, we have one FPGA, so this is not connected to a host. This is really a, you can imagine it like a small board, plugged in into a data center. So there's the FPGA with the replicated key value store, the atomic broadcast, and the networking logic on it, which sits on a Xilinx VC709 evaluation board. So this is for those of you who know the NetFPGA SUMI board. This is very similar to that one. So if you're familiar with that, this is a board which gives you roughly the same properties. And then, as you can see here, our FPGA board has 4 10 gigabit connectors, from which we use one for TCP/IP networking. And I will show in the next slide. We also explore how the latency of consensus changes once you remove TCP/IP from the picture and you use point-to-point connections. So if you can imagine a use case for hardware where you're thinking of smart switches or middle boxes, which might have a backbone interconnect where they can talk to each other in a point-to-point fashion, then using these additional ports, we can also simulate this kind of behavior and see the trade-off between, you know, using TCP/IP or something more specialized for the cause. Right. So the way this is deployed in our data center, we have 3 FPGAs plugged in into a 10 gigabit switch. They talk to each other over TCP/IP, so they can go over the switch and the green lines and talk to each other. They can also use this point-to-point connections I was mentioning. It is built in a way that internally the application sees the point-to-point connections as just another, as a special socket number. So in essence, you can remove these links pretty much at runtime and then use the other remaining connections for communication. So yeah, as I said, the FPGA part is essentially a drop-in replacement from Mcached with replication. And then we use, because of this, we can use standard clients from the memcached library to test them. So these are running C, and here I'm showing we have 12 of these machines connecting to the FPGAs. What I'm not going to go into detail in this talk, but there's, again, a lot of detail in the paper, is that, of course, once you have these clusters, you cannot just assign a leader in the beginning and hope that nothing goes wrong. You need leader election and recovery to work. And this is all done. And as I said, it's explained in the paper. We have some experiments as well. Right, so some numbers. What this slide shows is the breakdown of time. So if you're doing a key value store write, which implies a consensus round, this shows the breakdown of time spent in software. So going from the standard memcached load generator through the network stack, all the way to the FPGA and back. So that's here, the software side of this is something like 15 to 35 microseconds, depending on the packet size. And I think what is really, really interesting is that in hardware, the actual packet parsing consensus, so sending multiple rounds of messages, and then storing the data, sending the response back, takes 10 microseconds over TCP/IP and 3 microseconds for the direct connections, which I just mentioned, the point-to-point ones. In the following, I will mostly talk about this latency here, because the left side is in some sense out of our control. And also, if you're thinking of going into the direction of maybe the devices which are actually require this service are also hardware, then of course this number changes. So to put this in perspective of related work, I put up some representative points. On the x-axis, you see consensus latency logarithmic. And then the y-axis, you see the best achievable throughput by the same system. And I don't want to agonize too much about the exact numbers because, of course, especially latency can be always pushed a little bit to the left with newer networks or, you know, small tweaks. So I would just more like to refer to these systems as specialized solutions and general purpose solutions. And the general purpose ones are things like Zookeeper, whereas the specialized ones I'm showing here are our FPGA to FPGA variants, and systems running on InfiniBand and using RDMA to do replicated state machines. Here on the left, I just want to highlight that specialization can happen in many different ways. So for instance, we specialize processing because we are running on FPGA, but the network is by all means commodity because we run on 10 gigabit Ethernet and use TCP/IP, whereas the yellow dot here runs on RDMA, which I consider a specialized network. What is important here is that we get an order to two orders of magnitude reduced in latency compared to general purpose systems. And this is, of course, you can do this with software. So this is what I was mentioning. If you move the lines up vertical, you can gain a lot of latency. But what is interesting is if you really are pushing for throughput, then you need this extra benefit of pipelining. And if I want to just show a little bit more about how throughput and latency behaves in hardware, this is the median and 99th percentile of the FPGA as load increases, so as we go up on the y-axis. And actually, interestingly, the software-related work doesn't really give us these numbers on which we could compare point to point. So here I'm taking the high road and showing you the best, kind of the best case for software, which would be keeping latency almost constant and going up to something like a million rounds of consensus per second. And as you can see, even if you're this optimistic about software, the pipelining and hardware still will give you a boost. So this is a logarithmic. Axis here. Right. Our throughput, and I'm showing here the size of requests, so the key value stores requests on the x-axis, and the throughput on the y-axis. For a three-node setup, the red line is a direct connection, so the point-to-point connections, how the FPGAs communicate, and the green line is TCP connections. And our system, in essence, is bound by the internal 10 gigabit line rate for the direct connection. So the FPGA is designed to work at the 10 gigabit network clock and to support the 10 gigabit pipe inside. So for the direct connections, you can see that the consensus logic itself is fast enough to handle everything that you throw at it. Whereas for the green line, and we go in a little bit more detail in the paper, there's a limitation of the FPGA boards that we have. This is not inherent to FPGAs. This is more depending on what you can get from the vendors. So with this, I would like to conclude. Hopefully, I convince you that consensus is expensive, but it's a good thing to have in a distributed system. The solution that we propose to make it less expensive is to use specialization. And we built a high throughput, low latency consensus in hardware to prove this idea. And I personally believe that going forward, specialized hardware really opens up new opportunities for smarter networks. We have a poster outside, so if you are interested, please come talk to us. Thank you.
Robert Escriva, Cornell University. So a lot of your numbers use this directly connected network, which is basically a synchronous network. And once you have that, you could use a protocol weaker than a consensus protocol, which might offer even more performance. Have you looked into this at all, or are you just sticking to protocols meant for an asynchronous network and just putting them on a synchronous network for performance?
I see. So that's a very good comment, and that's definitely true. I think our goal was to show that you can take something which is widely accepted, which is well understood, put it in hardware, and still get the benefits. At this throughput level with 10 gigabit network, as I was saying, there's no really overhead in the protocol. I think if you would move up to 40G or something like this, then what you're saying might really make a benefit where you can actually optimize now for a more synchronous type of behavior. So, okay. But for 10G, we didn't. We saw more value in showing something general purpose pushed into hardware then.
Hi, Luis Pamios from Western Digital. Have you thought of using RDMA over the 10 gig link or Rocky? Would that bring any benefit?
So for this work, we kind of took this goal of, we felt there's a value in using commodity networks and showing that this is doable over TCP/IP because it's still in many data centers, maybe for legacy reasons, TCP/IP is still king. So this was one goal of the work, but definitely moving forward, there's, I think, a lot of potential in using things like Rocky and FPGAs. And as I said, so David is right there. Maybe he's the right person to talk to on this one.
All right. Let's thank Jolt.
Thank you.